Peace be with all of you. Today will be the last sermon on Acts for this year. And next week, I will invite Elder Wen Gang to encourage all of you. And after that, we will be into our Christmas week. And then we will witness the baptism of our brethren. And then for the month of January, very likely I'll share 1 month of thematic message for the whole year of 2022. So for a while, we will stop the book of Acts. And so today in my sermon, I want to leave a very important impression on you. And that is, the church will be persecuted. Last week, we finished the book of Acts chapter 2 and we saw the great work of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and convicted Peter to preach, and the Holy Spirit also made the hearers cut to the heart. And after that, the Holy Spirit brought about a new life of regeneration and transformation in those who believe. And so they gather every day and they obey the teachings of the apostles, and they break bread and they pray. And they look to the Lord every day and they receive the favor of all people, and God added to their numbers those who believe. And when we look at that scene, and it seems as if the church has a very serene picture. And then we hope that the church can continue to be in such a state of glory and peace. And we hope that the church can remain in such a state. But the church is not focused just on peace and joy. But the church must be led by the Holy Spirit, just like a sheep. The sheep must go along with the direction of the wind. So we must ask, how does the Holy Spirit guide the church? So the Holy Spirit will surely guide the church to be refined. So the church will be engaged in a lot of spiritual battles, and the church will see how God personally help her, and God's faithfulness, God's holiness will be manifested. And so in the midst of this, all believers will all the more wholeheartedly love the Lord and look to the Christ who is coming. So that's the first thing. The Holy Spirit will sanctify the church and refine the church. Secondly, how does the Holy Spirit guide the church? The Holy Spirit will surely lead the church to accomplish the great commission of the Lord. So when we look at the book of Acts, many people in Jerusalem believe in God, but there are also unreached people, unsaved people. So there are also many unsaved people. So when God is leading the church, what is important is the apostles, the disciples, must not forget what Christ has given them before He ascended to heaven. You must go and make disciples of all nations. So, God temporarily used the work of the enemy, and God allows certain appropriate trials to come upon the church. And so we see that the church is not merely gathering to have fun and rejoice, but the church, in reality, the church has the spiritual enemy, and there is the enemy who accuses brethren day and night. And this devil is like a roaring lion, always looking for a chance to devour believers and the church. So when we look at the book of Revelation, when the book of Revelation describes the enemy of God, it talks about the great red dragon, and the great red dragon wanted to devour the child that the woman gave birth to, and this child is Christ. But when he couldn't succeed in doing that, He was very angry, and then he pursued the woman who gave birth to the child, and the woman represents the church. And so you realize that in the 2,000 years, or in human history from Adam till now, the great red dragon and his work continues to pursue the people of God, to devour the faith of God's people. And his work is very evident, especially when we look at the book of Acts, when we see a very serene picture in the book of Acts chapter 2, immediately you see the work of the devil. So from the chapter 3 to 8, very obviously you will see that the church is being attacked. So Peter and John, when they were preaching the gospel, they were being arrested and threatened. And then chapter 5, we see that in the church, there was this incident of lying to the Holy Spirit. So Ananias and Sapphira, they deceived the Holy Spirit and they fell dead. And then chapter 6, because of many people and there are some messy stuff, and so when there's neglect in food matters, the apostles appointed 7 deacons to take charge of all these things, and the apostles decided to give their attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so when the disciples said this, some commentators commented that likely during then the numbers of the church grew, and then goats also entered into the church. And so the church had certain wrong teachings and wrong gospel preached by some people. And so the apostles realized that they couldn't busy themselves with administrative matters, so they must pray and focus on the ministry of the word and to preach the gospel correctly and well. And so that was what happened in chapter 6 and chapter 7 to 8. If you follow the book of Acts, you realize that this chapter 7 and 8, there is this very highly anointed deacon, Stephen. He was arrested, he was persecuted, and he was martyred. So such a highly anointed deacon of the church was stoned to death by the Jews. So when such a thing happened, you will see what happens. Because of this, the church faced great persecution. And so when the great persecution came, amazingly, the gospel went out of Jerusalem. And the disciples were all scattered, some to Judea, some to Samaria, and they even went to the Gentiles, Antioch. And as they go, they also preach the gospel along the way. And so can you see, God is the great director. What is God doing? Even if God allows certain trials to come upon the church, God ultimately fulfill his mission of refining the church. So through his new bride and his church, he wants to accomplish the great commission. And in all these things permitted by God, we see that there is the providence and the help of God, and God is also advancing his ministry. But of course, in terms of realistic situation, there's a lot of trials and temptations, persecutions, and internal and external turmoils. But in the midst of this, the church keeps choosing to take the narrow path and go through the narrow gate. And so when I see this scene, we look at the modern churches, a lot of city churches, they are not like this. Many churches in the cities, many modern churches, they are just immersed in their comfort, affluence, and a very relaxing faith. And so their messages all prompted the believers to pursue excellence and good life on this earth. But practically, the whole operation of the church, the entire ideology of the believers are already under the influence of Babylon the adulteress. And so they are always prompted to dwell on things of the earth every day. So city churches, sometimes we thought, oh, we come for gathering and we meet joyfully. But if you observe carefully, many believers, what is in their ideology and their belief system? They are all under the influence of the beast, and the kind of sociological ideas and ideologies brought about by the beast. So many believers in their heart, what they are concerned with is about their livelihood, economy. So in the Western countries, they are concerned about human rights and freedom. And in China, they are very focused about political issues. And when faith is concerned, they feel this is optional. If you can go to church, you go to church. It's just a form of mental well-being. But when there's pandemic, you can stop going to church. So this is the plight of the city believers. The more comfortable the person's, the believers' life are, and then they more rely on the government, and they rely on the kind of comfort and stability brought to them by the government. And then you realize that indirectly, in their heart, they treat God's house and God's matters more lightly. And so when you read the book of Acts, can you see this? What's the core focus of the book of Acts? It's not about your studies or your good grades, but in the entire focus of the book of Acts, the core focus is the church. Through the revival of the church, God influenced the whole world and the whole world's culture. So dear brothers and sisters, if brethren who lives in the city and you enjoy in the city culture, and then you do not care much about the church affairs, you know, if you can go, you just go. If you cannot go, it's all right with you, and you serve carelessly. But with regard to your own career and your own livelihood, you are very focused and concerned. And when that happens, you realize the church has certain problems. So I'm a servant of God. Every time when I stand at the pulpit to preach, sometimes before I come, I'm very burdened. Just on the way here, because throughout the week, I was very busy. So sometimes I was under attack and I didn't sleep very well. I feel a bit weak, but the moment I stand on stage, the amazing power of the Holy Spirit came upon me. So I can bring out the heart of God so that we can be awakened. So that when we are illuminated by the light of God, our conscience will be awakened. So we will know what is the thing we should care most about and the thing we should pursue. Although every week we hear the word of God, but many a times, with regard to God's matters, with regard to living out God's word, we didn't do so well. So I already told the co-workers, when you do the work of God, do not be careless. You will not be careless in your work matters. You will think through very thoroughly. But if with regard to church matters, you think it's very troublesome, you think you can just do it in a very slipshod way. Of course, you can do it in an easy way or a comprehensive way. Sometimes there's also human affairs and the needs of people, and you realize it's not so easy. So a lot of things you need to put in your heart to give it good thinking. When you think about your family, your career, you will give it very thorough and sincere thoughts. But what about the house of God? What about salvation of souls? If you want to organize a camp, a children camp or a youth camp, how should you go about doing it? So in the city churches, we always try to find a shortcut to be quick. Even God's word, we just want to take God's word in quickly, and we don't care about whether we digest the word of God. We just want to get a feel. Now, they hear the word of God and they serve God in this manner. Although people go to church, but what is the spirit they receive? And you realize that as time goes by, the believers are still worldly and carnal. So my dear brothers and sisters, God's word keep reminding us. And then you say that every time we say these kind of things, it's very hard for us to consume. But you need to understand, why do you read the book of Acts? Is it just to read about the wind, the fire, the tongues, and increase in number? Do you just read the book of Acts to get all these things? Actually, in the entire book of Acts, you see the work of the Holy Spirit. You see the submission of sins. And so you see that from chapter 1 to 28, what happens is not accomplished by human hands. God is guiding. And the apostles and early church, they submitted. And that's why they left a legacy. And so this ministry, why is it that for 2,000 years, the apostles' teachings, the saints and the spiritual battles of the early church, why was it passed on for 2,000 years? But the modern churches, a lot of programs and gimmicks that they have started, the message that they preach to make people happy, it seems as if they bring in large numbers, but you will see in 30 to 40 years, everything will be gone. Sometimes it's because of the charismatic preacher was leading, but the moment he left, you realize the next generation will go down, will decline. It cannot pass on because it's all dependent on human methods and intelligence. But human factors cannot withstand the test of time and experiences. Now, if Pastor Chu preached the word of God, even if I die, God will raise another person to speak the word. If the sermons are being faithful to the word, you will see that it can be able to pass on from generation to generation, and more anointed people will be raised up. So in the city church, in the great Babylon and the adulterous culture, there is the beast, there's a false prophet and their work. And when all this covered the whole earth, the church must survive in the midst of this, and the church cannot flow with the drift. And so we see that the church of God, sometimes we just get weaker and weaker, but yet we see that the Lord is faithful. God will not allow His church to continue to be weak. God will intervene. And sometimes the way of God's intervention is to allow trials and suffering to come. And so we see that this pandemic is one of the channels by which God is refining His church. I'm not sure whether you see this. When you see this pandemic coming and the church continues to get weak and people stop coming to service, every time I hear certain church close down, whether it's in Singapore or in Malaysia, not just businesses are closing down, but even churches are closing down. So when I hear all this news, I was really saddened. Why are the believers of God refusing to go back to church? Because the heart of going back to church has already grown cold. So when you see this scene, you want to rebuild the foundation of the church. You want to rebuild the walls of the church. So when you have such a passion being stirred up in you, thank God for it, because God is calling you. So last week, or the week before, 2 weeks ago, I heard about Malaysia church, whether it's the Penang church or JB church, brethren are returning to physical meetings in the church, wearing their masks and singing hymns to praise God. I was very heartened and thankful to God because I know they value the importance of meeting. So pandemic comes, people are being shaken and shocked, and after that they felt very tired. And then they felt that going to church is inconvenient. Many things that believers by right should have done, they should use their heart, even pay a price to do, but yet they give it up. And then they are absorbed into their own concerns. But yet some people are stirred up. Some people when they see this scene, they ask, how can the house of God be like this? And so they go back to the church. And that's how God sifts His people. He tears down and He rebuilds. He get rid of the false and untrue one. And He build up the true ones. Just like the tree stump will once again sprout. So I always encourage you. I always thank God that during this pandemic, you still come to church. When you come to this church, you will immediately realize that one of the prayers of our church is we are praying for the spiritual life of brethren. We are praying for the glory of God, for the advancement of the gospel. So other than the circuit breaker, the church has never stopped gathering for 1 week. And then believers see the importance of gathering. And even your non-believing friends, you still bring them here. So when I see this scene, I told our brethren, how can we make people difficult to come to church? So of course the church has certain, of course the government has certain rules on what we can do or not do. But we must facilitate people being able to come to church easily. So this year, why must we have the camp? Under the restriction of the people, we still have to do the camp. Why? Because this concerns the soul of people and eternal affairs, and it supersedes temporal matters. So today, we look at chapter 3. At the beginning of chapter 3 of Acts, what happens? If you have been reading the book of Acts, you will know that today, through Peter, the Holy Spirit performed a very amazing and wonderful miracle. And after this miracle, what's more important is many people were amazed because they saw a lame walking. So many people came and listened to the sermon of Peter. And Peter preached. And after that, 5,000 people believed. And after that, the great priests, scribes and Pharisees, they came and arrested them. And that's how persecution happened. That's the order of things. Now, first look at the miracle performed by Peter. Acts chapter 3. And let's confirm together what God is doing through the apostle. So one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So this is about 3 in the afternoon. And at this time, the Jews just finished offering the evening sacrifice. And after that, Peter and John, they went to the temple to pray. And so from here, we will know Peter and John, they are not just apostles who like to perform miracles and who like to preach, but all the more they are apostles who love to pray. Now, some people, they love to serve, but they do not love to pray. Some people love to read the Bible, but they don't like to pray. So somebody asked Charles Spurgeon, what is more important, prayer or Bible reading? What do you think? So Charles Spurgeon said, do you breathe? Is it more important to inhale or exhale? So both are important. So the apostles, they have seen what the Lord has done and taught, and they were anointed by the Lord. But after that, how they should rely on the Lord to finish God's mission, and this requires prayer. And then verse 2, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So in verse 2, we see this amazing scene. So at this gate, temple gate called Beautiful, so this is a magnificent and grand gate. So if you read archaeology records, how tall is this gate? It's about 22 meters, and it's made by it is a bronze gate. And many people passed through this gate and went into this temple. And then it's the easiest to beg there. Why? Because Judaism, they pay a lot of attention to charity works. So sometimes when they pass by the beggar, their conscience will prompt them to donate some money. But you have to understand this scene, that when the Bible records this, it wanted to highlight that in such a magnificent, beautiful gate, there a lame was sitting, a lame beggar. So in the temple, there seems to be very holy priests and very knowledgeable and godly Pharisees and scribes, but no one can help this man. And he was sitting at the gate. Everyone dressed beautifully and with a very pious attitude, they seemed to pass by this gate. But this beggar was like a stain there. So sometimes in the church, when there's certain blemish, God is trying to give us a message. Perhaps our prayers are not enough, our love is not enough, our shepherding is not enough. We have not considered more thoroughly for the church. So when you read the Bible, what's most important is you need to have that picture. You not just exegete the words of the Bible, but the full picture, you need to look at it. What exactly is God trying to tell us through that word? And verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. So usually when you see a beggar, you may try to avoid his eyes. So you don't want to have eye contact with the beggar. So your point is, don't try to get a single cent out from me. So you don't want to look at his eyes. But here, amazingly, Peter and John came to the temple, and then the beggar keep wanting to get your eyes' attention. But Peter looked straight at him and told him to look at him. So the beggar would think that he's going to receive a very grand present from the two apostles. So over here, we must think about the contents of all these verses. Why did Peter and John tell the beggar to look at them? So my interpretation is, in fact, Peter that day, before he walked to the temple, he already received the indication from the Holy Spirit that he will perform a miracle. So the moment he saw the beggar, the Holy Spirit prompted him and he was given the gift of healing so that he performed the healing miracle. Do you believe that? I believe that. You thought that Peter went around and anyhow lay hands on people? I don't believe that. If today you go to the temple, at this Guan Yin Top Hood temple, and there's a lot of beggar there. If you don't have the indication from the Holy Spirit, do you dare to go over there and try to heal the beggars and the crippled and the lame? Do you dare to do such things? Nobody dare to do that. A mortal being, surely he is being convicted by the Almighty God, and then he dare to do such a thing. So he particularly passed by this beautiful gate and he saw the beggar and told him to look at them. And he's very clear about what he's going to give him. And we also know that at this moment, the Lord will fulfill what he told the apostles, that those who believe, miracles will follow them and they can heal the sick and cast out demons. And the Lord told them that when the disciples preached the word of God, God accompanied their preaching with signs to prove his word. Of course, this is the authority of the apostles and God empowers the apostles to do this. It's not common believers like us can anyhow go to certain places and make the lame walk again and so on. So later I'll explain more. And in verse 6, and then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." So this beggar may feel disappointed. So then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you." So God's servant have no money, but they have the authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. And so Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And that is the theme for today's sermon. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I mentioned about Nazareth before. So Nazareth is a shameful name, because when Jesus came to earth, Pharisees and the scribes questioned, how can anything good come out from Nazareth? So it's a very small town. It's an insignificant city. So it's a very rural area, but Jesus Christ grew up in Nazareth. He died and resurrected, and He's the Lord, He's the Christ. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so let's ponder upon this. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So when I think about this, I received two pointers. First, I realized that believers today, they have gold and silver, but yet they do not have the authority and power to heal people's life. So this is something very ironical. So the churches today are very rich. They can build magnificent and grand churches. But when they counsel people, they don't have spiritual authority. But they use the world's psychology and counseling skills, and they try to deliver people, set people free. How is it possible? So some of the trivial illnesses of people, whether it's mental or physical illness, they talk to you for 2 hours. After venting out their frustrations, they got healed naturally. So they don't have to go and find psychologists. Some people in America, you pay $200 and then you just pay the psychologist, and you speak to the psychologist 2 hours, and you paid him $200. And so that's what they are doing. But in fact, you come to pastor, it's free of charge. So they do not understand spiritual matters. So believers today, they have silver and gold, but they do not have the authority to heal people. Second point, Peter gave the beggar what the beggar truly needed in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. So many work of the church today didn't give people what they truly need. So they make people cry during the church service, they confess their sins to one another, they hug each other, and that's all. And then when they leave the church, the problems still remain. So such church meetings, you should attend lesser, because all these church gatherings, they are not targeted at opening your spiritual eyes to see the Lord. But these church meetings are just arousing your emotions. And when it's emotional, it will make you more messy, because it didn't let you think in your mind. So you don't think, you don't understand, you don't know the truth to think about your problem. You didn't go through the truth to understand your issues with money, with interpersonal relationship. But they just want to work on your emotions. And when you attend such meetings, after that, you feel even messier in your spirit. Because suddenly, after you vent out all your frustrations, you go back to reality, and reality is still the same. So when you come to the Life Church and you already understood this sermon, then you should stop pursuing all these things. Sometimes you do not know what you're talking about, but you keep speaking in tongues to liberate yourself. All these things I've already mentioned. If in the past you have never heard the truth, you're helpless, then no choice. So you have nothing more to pray, you just speak in tongues. But now you already received the truth and you understood it. If you already attended university, why do you go back to primary school? So this is a very important concept. The church must not always go back to pursue the wrong or the unsound teachings. Sometimes, even when you do not really understand God's word fully, God may give you some amazing conviction and experiences. Yes, those happens, but when you've read the word of God, well, you must not rely on those things. The more you rely on those things, they never come. But whatever comes are the false things and the wrong things to deceive you. God loves His people. God is not willing for His people to remain in suffering. So some people say God appeared to people in different ways. No, Pastor, you get the revelation through the Bible, but mine I get from vision and dreams. It's not to be interpreted that way. Because when you do not understand, when you're still like an infant, God has no choice but to give you a special revelation. But when you already understood the Bible and you are a Christian for 5 years and 10 years, unless your pastor didn't teach you well, but if you already understood the truth for 5 to 10 years and you understood the truth, then God is in your thinking, in your spirit, in your living, and when you submit to God, you know how God leads you, and then you realize you don't have to pursue those special things or those special feelings or experiences. Because if you want to pursue it some more, the Holy Spirit will not give it to you. And if they still come, it may not come from the Holy Spirit. So bear this in mind. So when the church keeps talking about the positive message that make people happy, this only attracts the wrong spirits. But they are not preaching the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because you must come before Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that comes through your true repentance, and you surrender before Him, and you surrender to His word. Then you can come before Him to receive healing. So Peter gave the beggar what he truly needed. And so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he asked him to walk. And verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. So Peter's hand is not some special hand. You must know that the source of power comes from God. So this hand is merely an instrument that God uses. This is a tool that God uses. It's not that this hand is a special hand. So you must be very careful about those people who really like to ask famous pastors to lay hand on them. Those people who like to do this, you know, Pastor, please lay hand on me. They have this superstitious faith. In the past, when I went to China, many people asked me to lay hands on them. I don't know why my hand is very special. So after preaching, I need to exercise my hand. So I told them, you must not ask me to lay hands on you. You must listen to the truth. Because they may be sleeping throughout the sermon, and after the sermon, they just queue up to get laid upon. So what anoints us is the word, because Holy Spirit will anoint us by the word we hear. Now this hand is just a piece of flesh. So Peter helped him up, and instantly he didn't realize that God's power already come upon this him. I mean, the beggar may not know he's healed already. So when Peter helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now Luke is a doctor. He described this. So in other words, his physiological defects had already been healed. So that is a supernatural miracle. Because today, a lot of the healing and deliverance meetings, you see many people, they went in wheelchair. You must not think that those who are seated at the wheelchair means they cannot talk. Sometimes they are lazy to walk. They maybe have a psychological barrier, or they are afraid of pain, so they don't want to walk. And so they are seated at the wheelchair. So at such a grand meeting, everybody applause for them, applaud them, and so they can rise up to walk. So this is not physiological defect. But for this man, he is truly he really have physiological defects since birth. And so his feet and ankles became strong and he could walk. So it's a supernatural miracle. So in every account of the Bible, you need to understand what the Bible is trying to convey. Why did Luke write it in this way? I mean, Holy Spirit help us understand. So if you do not like to read the Bible in this way, you will just keep looking for healing and deliverance meetings. But when you like to read the Bible well, you receive this illumination, and when you understood, your heart will be strengthened and you can follow the Lord. And then what else he did? And then he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. So after this beggar was healed, he did two things. The first thing he did was he went into the temple together with the apostles. He didn't go and have fun in the world. Now many sick people, after they got healed, you cannot see them in the church anymore. So the second thing, with the new legs that God has given him, he jumped and he walked and he praised God. So what is true healing? True healing is not that you cannot walk last time, now you can walk, or you cannot see last time and now you can see. So true healing is when the instrument was healed, then this instrument can be used by God to witness God. So what if there's no healing? My sickness is not healed yet. How can I praise God and testify for Him? So some people ask this question. So I tell you something very important. Did God give us a promise of our body getting healed? Isaiah chapter 53. We were told that by His stripes we are healed. So by His stripes we are healed. So this healing, is it just about a spiritual healing? You know, although I'm still sick, but in my spirit I'm no longer sorrowful and miserable. Or this healing also includes physical healing? What do you think? So when there's this biblical account, now a lot of pastors who like to perform healing, they like to proclaim that by His stripes we are healed. So when God healed a person, God surely heals the person wholly. God will heal the whole person. In the name of Jesus, God will heal the whole person, and that healing is absolute. But what is important is the timing of your total healing is when? It is when you see the Lord in future. Just like at this moment, none of us are spiritually healed, because sometimes we still feel miserable and helpless. But the moment you see the Lord, you will be perfectly healed. When we see the Lord, no matter how our bodies are, whether we are paralyzed, we have certain terminal illness, or we are blind or deaf, or our organs are unhealthy, or there's any issue with our blood or genes, but by then we will be completely healed. And we will receive the body that will never perish. By His stripes, we are healed. So on the day you see the Lord, you will witness this. But right now, we still have struggles. Or we may still have high blood pressure, we may have diabetes, things that we have been praying for a long time. But one day, all these things will be totally removed. And then, in your spirit, so healing also includes our spirit. So no matter how weak or inferior we are, how weak we are, how wounded we are, or we have been a believer for a very long time, and some people, they say, I don't know why, I just feel inferior and sensitive very easily. So each of us, we have different areas of misery and sorrow. Of course, sometimes when we have certain physical handicaps, we feel very miserable. Some people, they have no physical handicaps, but they are very tormented in their spirit, such that they cannot even function well. They cannot even lead a normal married life or normal living. So this is a kind of spiritual problem. And so when a person comes before the truth of God, they will continue to receive healing from the Word of God. But up to one day, when you depart from this sinful body, then you will be liberated from all spiritual illnesses. But right now, we still have imperfection, and we still have areas in which we are not fully healed. And you realize that those are the areas that make you rely on the Lord continuously, so that you continue to realize how God is powerful, but I am weak. God's glory, but my ugliness. So sometimes when you have sickness, you feel uncomfortable in your body, and then you will vent your frustrations on the one you love and give the person a lot of expectations and demands, and you just get frustrated and say, why are you so slow in taking my medicine for me, and so on. So in crisis, sometimes when you are inferior, you make people around you so miserable. It's as if you are the only miserable one in the whole world. No one cares about you. And then people beside you, it's very tough. It's very hard on them. So especially those who love you, your sinful nature will really torment them. But after you go through all this frustration, you must realize that what Romans chapter 3 say is right. For men, all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So a lot of our sanctification doesn't happen when we are in comfort, but when you are very weak and when you are sick, when you are uncomfortable, then you realize that's when sanctification happens. Now my daughter is taking clutches. So in the family, we all must cater to her. So her brother cannot take it. So the brother told her, it's not as if you don't have hands. So the first day she came back from her hospital, everyone was her slave. So yesterday, somebody just told her, why are you not washing your dishes? Your legs are injured, but your hands are working. But then my daughter replied, I have to walk there in order to wash the dishes. So when we are injured, we became very focused on ourselves. But when you are illuminated by God, then you realize this illness makes us blessed. So sometimes God didn't heal us, so that we know our sinful nature and we surrender to God, we look to Him, we cleanse ourselves to follow Him. So when the church has suffering, then the church can be holy and without blemish. So if the church is too comfortable without any problem, so in fact, I even think that co-workers need to have appropriate conflicts. And so in the midst of this, God will bless us indirectly. So pray that you will not struggle anymore with regard to your body or your spiritual healing. Do not keep asking, Pastor, when will I be liberated? if you keep asking me, I will just tell you, by the day you see the Lord, then you'll be fully liberated. You can struggle on earth, but on earth, struggles are inevitable. And then verse 9 and 10. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So later on, when we read about this man in chapter 4, we know that this man is already in his 40s and he's born lame. So from young, don't know what age, people have carried him to this gate and people all recognize him. So this tells us that when a person, he had this illness for many years, he lived in shame for many years, but when he relied on the Lord and he was healed and he stood up to praise God, even more people will be amazed and filled with wonder. So he will attract more people before the Lord. So his healing actually lay the ground for Peter's future sermon. And so at Peter's next preaching, 5,000 people believed the Lord. So this is the more important thing. After being healed, there needs to be evangelism. Because people who saw the healing, so seeing a healing event may not save a person's soul. If you say you believe in God after witnessing a healing event, that may not be real faith. You must hear the word, then you can truly believe. The miracle event only open your heart and your ears to listen carefully. What is salvation? What is sin? Who is Christ? What is grace? And you need to hear this carefully and understand this well. Then you can submit to the Lord, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, and salvation has come upon you. And next thing, as I read this, he has been at this beautiful gate daily. So I asked. Now Jesus, he also visited the temple in Jerusalem before. So is it possible that Jesus also seen this beggar before? Surely. Because this man has been in this beautiful gate for many days. It's a common sight for people around there. So Jesus also have went to Jerusalem and to the temple. But Jesus didn't heal this beggar. But Jesus left it for his apostles to heal this man. So this tells us something very important. And that is, even if God's will is to heal a person, but the timing of the healing is very important. Through who does the healing come from? The channel, the way of healing, under what occasion the healing takes place, all these are also important. Now, when we need healing, we hope that the healing can happen very fast when a pastor pray for us. But sometimes when the Lord wants to heal a person, that healing must bring about God's glory and the people of God receiving benefit. But you need to understand that back then, Jesus Christ, he had this tension with the Jewish leaders. And so a lot of Jewish leaders are watching him. But now, Peter healed this beggar. It brought about 5,000 people believing in the Lord later on. So sometimes when we have certain sicknesses physically and we need the healing of the Lord, you have to ask. Sometimes it's the way God heal you by the hand of doctors. Some Christians say that we Christians don't have to see the doctor, don't have to see Panadol. This is also a kind of extremism. So sometimes Christians can also see the doctor, go through operation. Some people, miraculously, somebody prayed for them and they got healed. And some people, they have a lot of wounds in their spirit. You pray for them, they are still very miserable, but slowly through the love and concern of brethren, that person gets well gradually. And some people, as they serve people, they let go of their own personal problem. So I have my leg problem, gastric reflux, So I don't know whether does it happen when men ages. So my wife may say that, you know, I put in a lot of my life to serve. It's like the candle burning on both ends. But I always say that if I don't serve, if I don't preach, then I cannot live on, because what's the point of living? I just go back to see the Lord. Because under the illumination of God's great glory, then humans can be like humans. And the faith of brethren can be revived, and God's word can be preached forth, and church is built. And in the midst of doing this, I became healthy. If every day I am very happy, it may not be good. And today I may be very fat, with a fat belly, and I may have high blood pressure. So we never know. So my point is, this is God's way. So no one can boast. You look at this, you consult this doctor, you will surely get well. You go and take this medication, or you let this pastor lay hand on you, you will surely be good. There's no such thing, because God has His ways. God has His way of healing a person. So I talk about my daughter's matter just now. So my daughter just recently went for an operation. So she injured her knee by through sports. Actually, she's fine and well. So what's tough is on us right now. So this child is a very timid girl. So when I brought her to the doctor said that this ligament was torn. You can still run and walk, but if you want to do strenuous sports, then you must do the operation. So I told the daughter, you don't have to go through this operation. But she said, I want to go for the operation, because I want to join the Olympics in future. So I told her that I also had this operation in the past, but it's not so good. You know, it's just healed about 60%. But the doctor told her, you can get healed. You can get cured 90%. So she listened to the doctor's advice. So I also think that maybe I have my own experience. So that experience is not so good. So I don't want my child to go through it. So some people, they have their own experience. They trust traditional Chinese medicine, and they don't trust Western medicine. So you just focus on one thing, your experience or what, but you're not led by the Holy Spirit. So when I brought her to see the doctor, I saw her courage. I saw her willingness to try. So I told the doctor, it's not good for me after I went for the operation. So the doctor find it strange. So, of course, I'm concerned about my precious daughter. But later I pray that I need to put down my own experience in the past, because my experience is limited. God has his own guidance. So your experience is only part of the thing. So if you yourself got healed and you share your experience with others, and others may not experience the same way of healing. So you, in the past, my wife met a very good gynae doctor. So she recommend to her sister. And then when her sister's turn, the sister find the doctor not very good. So sometimes it's very hard for us to recommend doctors to people. So it's better to recommend the Holy Spirit to people, so that people can rely on the Lord and not on experiences. So in terms of healing, there's many things to be said. I can only preach up to this point. But when you read this account in the Bible, we know that the main thing is we are not just being wealthy in material area, but if we do not have authority to heal people, then we are a failed Christian. But God has given us the Holy Spirit and the Word so that we know how to submit to God. And when we submit to God, and power will come forth and be manifested through our obedience. So our obedience is the channel by which God's power comes through. So let's pray. God, we thank you for using your word today to encourage us. And this is surely related to our life because we know that sin makes us sick. Whether it's our spirit or our physical body, we have our flaws and lacking. But through today's scripture, we see how the Lord manifests the great power of your healing. Lord, we know that one day we will all be totally healed. This is what you promised. But today on earth, sometimes when we struggle with our temporal weakness and illness, that is also your blessing. Lord, today when we hear your word, please help us not to be depressed over our weakness and sickness, but help us thank you and even witness for you. Lord, please help us so that after hearing this message, you help us preach the gospel boldly so that boldly we can intercede for people according to your will. Help us also encourage people so that when we do this, we see the healing power comes through what we do and what we pray so that we can bring blessings to everyone. Lord, we thank you and may you receive all glory. And as we draw near to Christmas season, we have a lot of meetings and camps. May you guide us personally. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.